From the lakefront to the riverfront, this is where Wisconsin sports fans come to talk. The Bill Michaels Show, named Best Radio Show in the Wisconsin Broadcasters Awards for Excellence. Now, here's your host, Bill Michaels.
Welcome, Bill Michaels Show on the air. We are glad you are on board on this Tuesday. In a short week, a holiday week, as Thanksgiving, only a couple of days away, you're getting up and checking out parades and football and turkey and tryptophan and maybe Christmas decorations, whatever your traditions happen to be, or even maybe going out on that early Black Friday excursion, whatever it happens to be. It's a holiday week. And good luck to you. Seems like when it kind of creeping around, all of a sudden everybody needs it. I'm Bill Michaels, Radio Joe across the way. And if you want to get a hold of us on Twitter, it's @Bill_Michaels. @Bill_Michaels. Also, you can get a hold of us and get a hold of Joe over at Radio Joe Sports, @Radio Joe Sports. Also, over on the Facebook fan page, that's simply Facebook.com, The Bill Michaels Show. Facebook.com, The Bill Michaels Show. Also, our website, BillMichaelsSports.com. That's BillMichaelsSports.com. You can find us there as well. And then don't forget about the Radio.com app. Download the app, Radio.com, Radio.com app, and you can take us everywhere. And favorite us when you find us. Just search in Bill Michaels and then favorite us when you find us, and we'll pop up all the time. You don't have to go looking for us anymore. In the grand scheme of things, you had a Final Four aspiration, because I remember at the beginning of at the end of baseball season, beginning of the football season, we're sitting here talking about being Wisconsinites. You've got a team that's expected, or at least should be, efforting towards the Final Four in college football. You got a baseball team that's doing extremely well, and obviously the Green Bay Packers have Super Bowl aspirations. Well, the Brewers, they were the ones that kind of lived up, we'll say achieved, but kind of lived up to the billing as we were heading into the postseason, as they ended up going to the NLCS. So then you look at the Packers and the Badgers, and you think, okay, who did we overestimate the most? Who did we overestimate the most? Because the Badgers have not been what we expected. I mean, right? I mean, I think we could all agree on that. You know, a couple of tough losses, some things that you don't normally expect out of the Badgers. You know, so did you overestimate the Badgers? The BYU loss was, I think, just a giant wake-up call to say, wait a minute, what just happened here? What is this? And then, in addition to that, you know, you go on, and obviously they lost at Michigan, but then the loss at Northwestern, which has been a traditionally a tough place to play for them anyway, but still to get beat 31-17, and then you lose to Penn State, again, another road loss, but nevertheless, it's a loss. You lose to the 20th-ranked team in the country at the time. You come back. It's a hard-fought win. It's a feel-good win. But 47-44, you knock off Purdue. Now your last game of the season is to kind of salvage things, so to speak, as Wisconsin sits 5-3 in the conference, 7-4 overall, far cry from where a lot of people expected this team to be, maybe 11-1, or maybe even running the table, you know? So an overestimation of the Badgers? I bought in. I'm sure many of you did. We were anticipating that type of a season where we're talking about Final Four as we got to this week, you know? And then there's the Green Bay Packers, and you bring in Jimmy Graham. They bring in Mo Wilkerson. Change defensive coordinators, which is what everybody wanted to see. They bring in Joe Philbin. Bring him back. Scrub the playbook. Knocking down silos. Ted Thompson is gone. Brian Gutekunst, he fortifies the secondary. The Packers now have enough on offense. They have enough on defense, they think, to be in the top 15. And with that offense and Aaron Rodgers, it's going to get it done. Opening day, opening night, Aaron Rodgers gets his knee kind of buckled. Has a little bit of a hindrance for a large portion of the season. But it has not turned out the way that we thought it would. So who did you overestimate more? Interesting piece by Rob Domofsky on ESPN.com. The numbers on Aaron Rodgers through 10 games this year, 19 touchdowns, one pick, 3,073 yards, a passer rating of 102.2. Those are the numbers that Rodgers you know, after the 10th game, that's what you would choose. But if you want to talk about the frustration level of 3-2-1, the second set of numbers tells far more about a quarterback this season than the first. The numbers of Rodgers, you know, by the 10th game, a 27-24 loss at Seattle that drops them to 4-5-1. You know, he's got a touchdown interception ratio of 19-1, averaging more than 300 yards per game and a passer rating in triple digits. It's huge. He's thrown the most touchdowns with one or fewer interceptions of any quarterback with a losing record through 10 games during the Super Bowl era. And it's not all that close. In 1991, the Browns were 4-6, and Bernie Kosar had 11 touchdowns and one pick. He and Rodgers are the only two quarterbacks in the past 53 seasons with double-digit touchdowns, by the way. So it goes on from there. But don't blame Rodgers' week one knee injury, at least not anymore, for any of the Packers' struggles. Aaron Rodgers keeps insisting he feels good. You can look at some of the poor drafts of Ted Thompson and such. So it's a kind of a telling look. 855-830-8648. So who did you overestimate more in the world of fall sports, in this fall and winter sports in the state of Wisconsin? Let's go to Scott, listening to us in Milwaukee. Scott, welcome to the program, The Bill Michaels Show.
Hey, thanks, Bill.
Sure.
For me, you know, it's the Badgers. I saw come out last year. They were positioned to, you know, really shine in the national spotlight. I knew the schedule was tough, but I thought that they were bringing enough people back. And, you know, the coaching has been great the last couple of years, that you thought the people that we were going to lose on defense, we would be able to replace. I look at the Badgers to do better because I don't have much faith in the Packers, and I have not had much faith since the year we had Seneca Wallace and Tolzien as our quarterbacks. I realized then that we were terrible at picking talent, managing talent, developing talent. I knew it was just a matter of time before we'd have some of these ugly seasons that we're having right now. So for me, it was the Badgers that is more disappointing than the Packers.
I look at the Packers' expectations. We always know it's Super Bowl or bust, but how much better did you think they would be just simply, I guess, gaining Mike Pettine? You know what I mean?
Totally. You know, coaches are just coaches, though. They're not on the field. And yes, you can change schemes, and yes, you can do all these different creative things, but at the end of the day, you know, we didn't turn over enough people in the defensive end that signaled to me, and again, I'm just a guy that watches the game on a couch, but they didn't do enough for me to say, yeah, we've significantly upgraded at linebacker. We've significantly upgraded with a veteran secondary. So there wasn't enough there that said we were much better defensively. Offensively, we're always going to be decent. That's why Jimmy Graham was a nice, exciting, you know, headliner pick, pickup. But at the end of the day, you know, offensively, we've never really had a problem over the last 15 years. It's always been the defense that's what, you know, held us back from winning a Super Bowl or even getting to the Super Bowl.
Appreciate it, man. Thanks for the phone call, 855-830-8648, 855-830-8648. Let's go to we'll get to Dave coming up here momentarily. This one's from Mark, writing to us in the Wendy's email inbox. Said, as a Badger fan, I bought in. Hook, line, and sinker coming out of that Miami game. I thought this team was going to roll. I would have to say that I overestimated the Badgers probably by about three losses. 855-830-8648, 855-830-8648. Let's go to Dave, listening to us in Madison. Dave, how are you doing today, man? What's going on?
Hey, how are you?
Wonderful.
Yeah,
what's happening?
I think the Badgers. You know, with the Packers, you can kind of see the handwriting on the wall with the lack of talent Ted's brought in the last couple of years. You're at least good decisions being made in the draft and whatnot. But with the Badgers, though, you know, you had it all pointing to it. You know, you did lose a lot of defensive talent, but you got a great defensive coordinator. You got a lot of offensive weapons coming back. And, you know, Hornibrook just hasn't lived up. I don't know if it's a confidence thing, it's the concussion thing, who knows what's up with him. You lost Quintez Cephas before the season even started, and so now you're back to being kind of a one-dimensional team.
Right.
I mean, you got a running back who's, you know, clearly the best running back in the nation, despite the fact he likes to fumble the ball about once a game. It definitely is to me the Badgers is my most over, you know, I guess, you know, the one that kind of let me down the most. I mean, I think the other thing too with the Packers is I really thought that with Joe Philbin coming back, maybe that offense is going to get back on track. I was trying to call about that yesterday. What is Philbin even doing? I mean, that's a,
you know what, Joe Philbin, that's a great question. I appreciate the phone call, Dave. Let's do this. Let me take a break, and I'll come back, and I'll get into that discussion, okay? Because I think it's a very fair one. Hang in there, talking some Packers and talking some Badgers. Which team did you kind of overestimate going into this season, in all honesty? 855-830-8648. 855-830-8648. More of the Bill Michaels Show next.
Everywhere in Wisconsin, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Welcome back. Bill Michaels Show on the air. We are so glad you are on board. 855-830-8648, 855-830-8648. This portion of the program brought to you by our friends at Cousin Subs. Cousin Subs want to remind you, they want to put you in the best seats in the house. Best seats in the house at Lambeau Field. 50-yard line, plush leather recliners. All you got to do is go to Packers.com/best seats. Packers.com/best seats. And you can then you, and by the way, you can do it daily. That way you can get registered numerous times, increase your odds of winning. It's that simple. Packers.com/best seats. And who knows, you and a friend could be heading off to sit in those plush leather recliners on the 50-yard line to catch a Packers game. Good stuff, and it's all brought to you by Cousin Subs, the official sub sandwich of the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network. Which team did you maybe overestimate, I don't want to say overrate, but overestimate the most coming into this season? Packers obviously had high expectations, so do the Badgers. David tweets us, @Bill_Michael said, thought both the Packers and the Badgers were overrated when the season started. If the Badgers returned last year's D, I could have agreed with the preseason ranking. Packers, after watching the team last year, could see that the talent on the roster was lacking. UW has been disappointing. This one's from Matthew, who writes in the Wendy's email inbox. I really thought with the Packers' additions and the firing of Dom Capers, this thing would have turned out better. I guess it really is the talent and Ted Thompson's fault. Not happening this year. As a Packers fan, completely frustrated that Ted Thompson wasted the last few years of Aaron Rodgers' career. Scott says, not happy with what's going on with the Green Bay Packers. I blame this on Mark Murphy for not pulling the trigger on Ted Thompson earlier when you realize that a lot of this talent is not going to work out. I thought the Packers were going to turn this thing around, but the Badgers are somewhat shocking. I thought Hornibrook was going to be a better quarterback. He turned out just simply to be Hornibrook. Thanks for the emails. 855-830-8648. 855-830-8648. 855-830-8648. If you want to give us a shout, by all means do so. Chris writes on the Wendy's email inbox, I haven't overestimated either of these teams. I think both teams were good. They weren't great, and now we're finding out about their lack of talent and their depth of experience. This is going to be a work in progress for both. I do expect both teams to be turned around next year, both with experience and with talent. I think that Brian Gutekunst has done a good job in supplementing some of the talent that's needed, but he's got some big decisions ahead. The decision to get rid of Jordy was not an easy one. The decision to get rid of Clay, the decision to get rid of Randall, is not going to be easy either, but it's something that needs to be done. We can't waste money on some of these aging guys just because they're names and they're fan favorites. You have to move forward. Belichick wouldn't do this. If you want to be like Belichick, then you have to think like Belichick, and he cuts guys and gets rid of them before he owes them a ton of money and their skills begin to decline. The problem is we have not been able to draft high-quality talent, nor do we bring in quality free agents that are going to help this team. Some teams have problem childs, and Belichick is able to turn them around at least for a season or two and get the most out of them. We are unable to do that here. You have to find a diamond in the rough. You have to go out and find yourself a Pro Bowler, and you have to draft a few Pro Bowlers for this team to get good again in a hurry. Otherwise, trade away Aaron Rodgers for 4, 5, or even 6 draft choices and begin the rebuild now. That's from Chris in Wendy's email inbox. 855-830-8648. 855-830-8648. That question was asked to me last night. I can't, in a day in which it is a quarterback-driven league, I cannot for the life of me contemplate trading away Aaron Rodgers. For as many issues as I have pointed out this year, and I have, I've been very honest about my assessment of the play overall, not just of him, but of the offense in general. I can't, he's still an unbelievably great quarterback. I can't trade that away. It's not like his skills are just falling by the wayside. He just can't get it done. That's not it. I can't, in a quarterback-driven league, you have a window. That window is a couple of years, or when a year hits and everything's heading in the right direction, you got to grab it. Because you just, unless you're the Patriots of recent, you just don't know when you're going to get back there. You got to grab it. So there's no guarantee when you get a bunch of draft picks what you're going to get in return. There's no guarantee that you're going to find a quarterback that's going to come into the system and all of a sudden be Patrick Mahomes. Because everybody just thinks, you go find Sean McVay, go find the next Patrick Mahomes, boom, we're in a Super Bowl. It's not that easy. It's not that easy. 855-830-8648. I wouldn't do that. I would continue to try to put pieces around Aaron Rodgers. Whatever money you happen to have on the table, I would spend it in the right way. And hope that, you know, health kind of remains on your side. Let's go to Sean, listening to us in Waukesha. Sean, welcome to the program, The Bill Michaels Show.
Hey, how you doing, Bill?
Doing well. What's up?
Good. I would say that people are putting a little bit too much blame on Ted Thompson. I mean, remember, you drafted Aaron Rodgers, and Aaron has always led a group of ragtag guys to success. That's just the kind of guy he is. He makes the team better, just like Michael Jordan made his team better. I don't think this year is really a whole lot different. You always deal with injuries. I just think Rodgers is on field, and most likely in the locker room leadership is just lacking, because we all know everybody respects the guy that's out there doing it with you better than you versus the manager. People always talk crap about the manager behind their back, mm-hmm. but respect the leader, the best in the business. So I think there's something to that, and I think it's Rodgers. And I think with McCarthy and Rodgers, they got proven success. And if they could just get together and agree to squash whatever's going on, get their heads together, motivational, come-together, family-type speech, I think that could do it. But, you know, it might be too little too late. I don't know.
That's I appreciate the phone call. That's the biggest question. I thought it was interesting when listening to the discussions last night on the Four Letter Network after the game about the relationship between Andy Reid, who has kind of morphed and adapted his offense to the talent that he has in Patrick Mahomes. Sean McVay being this young, energetic coach coming in and taking on what seemed to be a wayward Jared Goff, who was destined to be considered a bust, and all of a sudden he's turned his career around. I thought it was interesting in the discussion of Drew Brees and the relationship that he has with Sean Payton and how long they've sustained, Tom Brady and Bill Belichick. Bill Belichick has been there since 2000, 19 seasons, and nobody is looking at Bill Belichick going, your message is stale. You know, if you have respect and you have the locker room, you have it, you know? And I thought the comments of Brian Billick from earlier today, a Super Bowl-winning head coach, a guy that has been in a locker room, knows what it takes, and has been through pretty much most of this, knows what it takes to win, knows what it's like when things start to go awry and you're about to lose your job. And one of the things specifically was, you can't have Aaron Rodgers backhanding your coach. He said it. Look, he said, Aaron Rodgers is one of the best, but you can't do it. Because the other guys around you see it, and you're eroding your own locker room. He's right. I've said it all along. You know, the guys always talk about keeping it in-house. But if you're the quarterback, it's hands-off, I guess. You know, I mean, the NFL Network put a whole thing together on Aaron Rodgers and the comments that he's made about Mike McCarthy over the years. And That thing, that audio clip lasted more than a couple of minutes. And we're talking about per cup, maybe 5, 10, 15 seconds. So numerous comments. It wasn't just one. It's numerous. That erodes away a locker room. 855-830-8648. Let's go to David. David listening to us in Green Bay. David, welcome to the program, The Bill Michaels Show. What's going on, man?
Hey, not too much. I just want to say I think the Packers actually disappoint me the most, because when the Badgers season ended last year, I thought they were a playoff team. But then they had some horrible defections, like Nick Nelson leaving early for the draft. That was huge because of all the talent that they lost in the secondary. Then they lost a lot in their defensive end position. But then Billy Hirschfeld gives up his fifth-year senior season. Garrett Rand gets injured for the year. Isaiah Laudermilk gets banged up. So then they basically, that means they lost their top six guys there. And then, as the other guy mentioned, they had that horrible Quintez Cephas situation where they lose their most explosive and fastest wide receiver. And I think that affected Hornibrook to a certain extent, who didn't elevate his game at all. So to me, I would say I actually expected it from the Badgers for them to lose three or four games, but I thought the Packers would have like another win or two. And you can point to that Minnesota game where the referees decided it more. That was a killer right there. But yeah, I'd have to say the Packers a little bit more, just because they have Aaron Rodgers and, you know, the Badgers don't.
Yeah. Okay. Appreciate it. He drops off. You get aboard 855-830-8648 real quick. Let's get one more in. Let's go to Vince listening to us in Appleton. Vince, welcome to the program, The Bill Michaels Show.
Hey, unit, how are you doing?
Good today. What's up?
I think the Packers are a little more disappointing simply because they're professionals. The Badgers, come on, they're kids. You know, they've had a lot of injuries. But as far as one caller said, you know, they're putting a little too much blame on Ted Thompson, because after all, he did draft Aaron Rodgers. Let's face it, if the Packers would have had a top 10 pick that year, Rodgers would not be on our team. The only reason Rodgers is our guy is because we were at 24 and there was no way we couldn't take him.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, yeah, he did take him at 24. But if we would have had the top 10, top 15 pick, we would have had somebody else, and somebody else would be Aaron Rodgers. So I can't give Thompson too much credit for drafting him.
Well, but he took, we appreciate the phone call, but remember, he took Aaron Rodgers when you had Brett Favre. I mean, I honestly think he takes him no matter where he's at. Because Brett had already started the waffle of, I don't know if I'm going to retire, I don't know if I'm not going to retire. Ted Thompson is on the record saying he was the best player in the draft. That was back when Ted Thompson drafted best available player. He wasn't trying to fit square pegs and round holes and all that kind of stuff. That's when he was drafting best available player. And I believe he thought Aaron Rodgers was the best player in the draft. I mean, he's stated it numerous times. Now, that's after the fact, but I really believe he would have taken him. I really, really, truly do. Let's do this. We're going to go ahead and take a quick break. When we come back, Frank Madden from Locked On Bucks podcast, he's going to be joining us coming up here shortly. We'll get back into some Packers chatter coming up in just a little bit as well. We got the football frenzy right after the top of the hour. We're going to hear from Lance Kendricks as well from the Lodge Kohler kickoff last night. Stay tuned. A lot more of the Bill Michaels Show coming up right after this.
Wisconsin-wide, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
It's easier, you know. Last year we had a lot of games. Last year I was trying to figure out, you know, how Bledsoe plays and what he likes and what he does well. But this year I know him. I know what he wants to do. I know when he's going to pass me the ball. I know when we got to give him the ball and get the hell out of his way to make a play. And he's been playing great for us this year, and I know he's going to keep getting better and keep improving.
You see any difference in him from last year?
He's way more aggressive. Way more aggressive, and he's looking for his shots, but he's also making the right play.
Welcome back. Those are the words of Giannis Antetokounmpo. Talking about Bledsoe and you know, how he's changed, how his game has changed under Budenholzer. Welcome back to the program. Bill Michaels Show continues. We're so glad you're on board today. Always good to have you. 855-830-8648. If you want to chime in, feel free. 855-830-8648. Guys, if you're still struggling with ED, don't be deceived by the pills out there because they don't get to the root of the problem. It could be just caused by many underlying health issues or just normal aging. Call the medical experts at Neumel Medical Center. They're going to create an ED solution especially for you, and you're going to see the results in the first visit, or that visit is free. And if you're sluggish, moody, foggy, you may have low T. I did, thanks to Neumel. Tons of energy to tackle my crazy life and my crazy schedule. And if you want to shed some pounds, especially this time of year, check out their all-in-one weight loss program. I'm down over 50. 50. Keeping it off. Bouncing around, but keeping it off. I'm doing well. Doing, feeling younger, getting back in the game, guys. I'm telling you, call Neumel Medical Center today. 414-455-4451. Located in Milwaukee and Green Bay. 414-455-4451. That's Neumel Medical Center. Joining us now on the Schneider Orange Hotline, Frank Madden, Locked on Bucks podcast. And Frank, you hear Giannis there talking about Bledsoe's game. And it seems like, I've said before, Jason Kidd tried to get him to do something more fundamental. And then Budenholzer came in and said, don't forget the fundamentals, but just go play and have fun, and we'll take the restrictions off. Go do it. And it seems like whatever button he pushed has certainly worked thus far.
Yeah, I mean, the unfortunate thing about Bledsoe's playoff last year, and obviously, you know, plenty of talk about how disappointing he was against Terry Rozier and the Celtics, but he played well at the end of last season, last couple months, was really effective offensively. So I don't even know if the offense surprises me that much, but really, I think you got to talk about his defense first and what he's done defensively under Bud, the way that he's been engaged consistently night in and night out. You know, their scheme requires a point guard to be fighting over screens, you know, every time down the court, basically. It takes a lot of effort, and Bledsoe, I mean, his physical tools have always been there, and I think just the renewed engagement we've seen from him defensively has been a tone setter for them on that end, where they've obviously been way better. And, you know, you just look at some of the performances that, you know, Steph Curry, Damian Lillard, I mean, some of the best point guards in the league have really had basically the worst games of the year against the Bucks, and I think Bledsoe is a lot of that. And I think, kind of like Giannis, you know, he's another guy who's really benefited from the fact that they've got a ton of guys who are spacing the floor around him, and, you know, his ability to get to the rim, use that athleticism, also knock down some shots when needed. We saw that last night. You know, he's playing great. He's distributing really well, and obviously it's a contract year for him, so it's a good thing for the Bucks and also a good thing for him.
Talk about Brook Lopez real quick. I mean, go back to the game in which these two teams from last night met the first time. He ended up hitting that career-high 8 three-pointers last night. Not as fluid. I think it was 2 for 7, if I'm not mistaken, in that range. But his presence, he seems to have a voice there, doesn't he?
Yeah, I mean, I think Lopez, what he brings has been huge for the Bucks this year. You know, he's a really unique player because normally when you bring in a guy offensively who stretches the floor the way he does at the center position, you're normally giving up protection and kind of those big guy skills on the defensive end, right? You're normally not going to find a guy who protects the rim and is, you know, a 7-foot enormous guy to do what he does offensively. So he gives them the ability to stay big defensively without having to sacrifice the way they want to play offensively, and that's obviously been really huge. I mean, you know, he's not just shooting threes. I mean, he's shooting threes from, you know, 30 feet out, and so what that requires defense to do, you know, mentioned Bledsoe benefiting from that, Giannis benefiting from that. Those guys are getting the rim, you know, as well as they ever have, just because there's so much space, and obviously the fact that centers have to go account for Brook Lopez is a big part of that story. But, you know, also give him a lot of credit, because I think defensively, you know, what he's done protecting the rim, you know, he's not a guy who grabs a lot of defensive rebounds, but he's one of the best kind of box out guys in the league, and their defensive rebounding has been a huge for last year, and you know, certainly Lopez is a big part of that story as well.
I'll tell you what, I watch the energy of this team. They play up and down, don't get me wrong, but, you know, he's not Darvin Ham, but Pat Connaughton has come on, I mean, and just excited people. I mean, the way he's been able to hit threes, the fact that he kind of flies around to the basketball, he plays that hair flying behind him, sweaty kind of guy that's just that blue-collar workhorse, so to speak. But that guy's been an energy and a spark to this team, hasn't he?
Yeah, and he was a guy I really didn't know what kind of role he might have when they signed him. I mean, I actually didn't realize really until they signed him that, I mean, he played 82 games, almost 20 minutes per game for the Blazers last year. So he was a guy that had a real NBA role consistently every night a year ago. I'm still surprised that, that Portland didn't make a bigger, you know, play to keep him. But obviously their loss was the Bucks' gain. And, you know, they've got him on basically a minimum level contract this year. They've got him non-guaranteed next year as well. So, I mean, that's looking like a terrific signing because, as you said, I mean, his combination of shooting, and he's another guy who will shoot it from, you know, 30 feet out if he's open. But then also the athleticism, you know, he works off ball. We've seen him, you know, run the baseline, get passes from Giannis for dunks. And, you know, defensively, you know, I mentioned Bledsoe being a guy who has worked really hard chasing guys around screens. Connaughton's another guy who does that really well. And, you know, you look at the lineup data on the Bucks this year. I mean, you know, Connaughton, when the Bucks starters play with Connaughton, they've been much better than they have been with Brogdon. It's not, you know, still early, but, you know, I think Connaughton and Snell as well have played really well in those reserve roles off the bench, give them a lot of flexibility. So, you know, when you lose a guy like DiVincenzo, who obviously have been playing a lot, they're really not missing a beat with those two guys stepping up. And certainly, especially at the price that you got Connaughton for, you know, you have to feel really good about that. And he's a guy that I think you'd expect to see a lot of minutes for the rest of the year.
I was going to ask you about DiVincenzo. How much has he impressed you? Because we knew he could shoot. We didn't know how well he could shoot, but he seems to have handled himself almost immediately. It's he doesn't have the rookie jitter, so to speak. He's not afraid to pop it up. He's been a distributor of the basketball, but he's been also a good spark coming off the bench.
Yeah, I think the best thing you say about DiVincenzo is he's a decisive player. You know, I mean, the one thing he hasn't done is hit shots so far. I think he's like around 25% from three. I think that obviously is you know, always a question with rookies, but certainly for him being you know, a shooting guard, you obviously need him to eventually sort of hit at a consistent rate, but he hasn't been afraid, right? I mean, he's very decisive. He's confident. He knows he's, you know, got to get those shots up. That's what Budenholzer wants him to do. And, you know, he's had some moments defensively, like when C.J. McCollum shook him. And, you know, he's had some learning moments defensively. But overall, I think, you know, the energy, the athleticism he plays with defensively, whether it's blocking shots or getting rebounds, you know, he's got a good court sense. And I think offensively, he's interesting because, I mean, he's not a point guard, but, you know, his passing sense, I think he's got a real unselfish streak to him. And, you know, again, he tries to make decisions quickly. So whether that's shoot, whether that's, you know, take a couple of dribbles and pass, whatever it might be, I think that's let him fit in kind of more quickly than maybe, you know, certainly I expected him to. And, you know, Bud has obviously had a lot of confidence giving him a lot of reps early. So we'll just see. I mean, he's got a lot of competition at the wing with, you know, Connaughton, Snell, and obviously Brogdon getting a lot of minutes as well. So hopefully he'll be back soon. But certainly in the meantime, it looks like the Bucks have the depth to cope.
Talking with Frank Madden from Locked On Bucks podcast. Give me your assessment. Give me your thoughts, because I think this offseason a lot of people kind of raised an eyebrow as to what Horst was gonna, the general manager of the Bucks, was going to do. And you make some moves. You think, okay, you know, you get it. You bring in you know, Budenholzer. Okay, you get it. Has this, for those that might not have either had the trust or the believability factor or, you know, whatever you want to call it, the faith in Horst to be able to get this thing kind of, you know, off and running, has this offseason and what they've done in the early start of this season given you a lot more faith and hope in the front office that is the Milwaukee Bucks?
I think we're still kind of in the early days of figuring that out. I mean, they've got a huge summer next year. I mean, they've got 4/5 of their starters able to hit free agency between Brogdon, Bledsoe, Middleton, and Lopez. And so that's really going to be the huge challenge. I think, you know, the biggest move the Bucks made, obviously, I think in the offseason was bringing Budenholzer in. And I think, you know, when you look at some of the decisions, whether it was drafting DiVincenzo or getting Lopez, Ilyasova, who obviously played in Milwaukee, but also for Budenholzer in Atlanta. I mean, I think Mike Budenholzer is playing a huge role in the front office decision-making that we've seen so far. And so, you know, look, he was for a time president in Atlanta basketball operations as well. He didn't really do so well in that sort of phase of the job. So I think it's going to be interesting to see sort of how the kind of organization kind of moves forward, you know, in terms of decision making and how they balance kind of all the competing needs. Because, you know, the good news is right now, you know, the Bucks window is now, right? And we talked about the future for so long, but this is a team that obviously, you know, they're not waiting on anybody to become good at this point. They need to be competitive, you know, year in and year out. Giannis is good enough that he can be that leading guy. So I think a lot of questions still to be answered. You know, I think next summer they have some huge decisions to make with all those starters that are going to be hitting free agency. And, you know, again, I don't know if they can keep all those guys. And you know, I think certainly this summer was a positive one in terms of being able to fill out the roster with, you know, Lopez. I think maybe they still overpaid on Ilyasova, but, you know, Connaughton was obviously a great pickup. And we'll see with DiVincenzo if he can kind of continue to keep some of his early momentum going and continue to develop. So I think certainly the summer was a big one for the Bucks organization, and really it all started with Budenholzer. And so, you know, fingers crossed they can kind of keep that momentum going. And, you know, look, from an organizational perspective, you know, you're competing with Boston, Danny Ainge, you're competing with, you know, Masai Ujiri in Toronto. The bar is very high in the East. So I think certainly the Bucks have not proven nearly as much as those organizations. But at a minimum, obviously, you have optimism, especially with a coach like Bud.
Always good to talk, Frank. We will chat again down the road, okay?
All right. Happy Thanksgiving.
You too. Appreciate it so much. There you go. That is Frank Madden from Locked On Bucks podcast joining us for a couple of minutes on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Schneider hiring right drivers right now. You work hard. They treat you fair. 80-plus years. They've been getting it done. Call them 844-PRIDE or go to schneiderjobs.com. That is 844-PRIDE or go to schneiderjobs.com. Now, sometimes, my friend, a ride around the block, that's just not enough if you're looking for a vehicle, right? You take it around the block, you go, okay, it rides nice, so where do I sign? That's why Van Horn Automotive, they offer the 90-day test drive program. It's available at any of their FCA locations in Plymouth, Manitowoc, Stoughton. You can take a ride in a brand-new Ram 1500, the Jeep Grand Cherokee, Dodge Charger, Dodge Grand Caravan, or Chrysler Pacifica. 90 days, no obligation. If you're not satisfied, return it. No additional commitment. Or you can buy it and save up to $2,000. Now, I just picked up. I went out and drove around in a few, but I ended up looking for a luxury car, and I found one wrapped in a pickup truck. The Dodge Ram 1500 from the people over at the Truck Center in Plymouth. Love it. It's a luxury car wrapped in a pickup truck. I mean it. Visit VanHornAuto.com and shop the inventory that qualifies for the 90-day test drive today. That's VanHornAuto.com. VanHornAuto.com exclusively by our friends at Van Horn Automotive. Hang in there. A lot more of the Bill Michaels Show coming up right after this.
You're listening to the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network. Now, a green and gold update. Here's Mike Clemens.
The Packers were back at work after having a weekend off. Up next is another road trip, this time to face the Vikings on Sunday Night Football. Tight end Jimmy Graham will try and play this week despite suffering a broken thumb in Seattle. On defense, Mike Daniels will be out at least a couple of weeks with a foot injury. Mike McCarthy says there's roster decisions to make. He met with GM Brian Gutekunst.
Brian and I met today on just some different combinations of things we may look at, and really until we get down on the field Wednesday to see how, you know, a number of these guys are going to move and, you know, get through the rehab part of it. Probably have more news for you here in the next 48 hours.
The Bears are now 7-3 atop the NFC North after beating the Vikings Sunday. The Packers have lost three of their last four, and at 4-5-1, they'd have to win their final six games to have a shot at the playoffs.
Regardless of what anybody's opinion is, you know, we expect to complete the goal that we set out to back in April. So, you know, that's the big picture focus, but it's not anything we're talking about right now, because, you know, part of the message today, there's not a whole lot to talk about. We know where we are in this season. We knew this four-game stretch was going to be a challenge. We didn't hit the target as well as we like, but now we're on. We have 6-7 day stretches here, so we're back into a routine and regularity that'll be beneficial to us. We feel that's a strength in preparation. But, you know, we have full intentions to go to Minnesota, win this game, but, you know, we need to play better in certain spots, and that's what we'll focus on. We'll focus on ourselves like we always have.
That's Packers head coach Mike McCarthy. In Green Bay, I'm Mike Clemens on The Bill Michaels Show.
Welcome back. Bill Michaels Show on the air. We are glad you're on board. A couple minutes before we get to the top of the next hour. And by the way, the football frenzy right around the corner. Got to recap everything that was this weekend, because it was some good football this weekend. Also coming up, we're going to hear from Lance Kendricks. Lance Kendricks was really good and had some moments of not total open honesty, so to speak, where, you know, all the secrets fall out, but was really good last night in talking about the inner workings of what's going on behind the walls of 1265. So I thought it was a lot of fun. I really did. I enjoyed it last night. And you're going to hear that coming up as well. And Brian Billick was really honest about, you know, today's football, was honest about the Green Bay Packers, was honest about the situation in Green Bay. Talked about the quarterback in Green Bay, about speaking out, a lot of things. You're going to hear that interview coming up as well. So we got a lot coming up for you here in the next hour. Speaking of the Packers and football, hey, I can't say it enough. We're going to be down in Atlanta, Georgia. We're hoping the Packers can follow us down there because it's Mercedes-Benz Stadium. It's a Super Bowl, and obviously we would love nothing more than to see Packers fans with us in a warmer climate. But in just in case. They can't, or they can't get there. We hope that you follow us, or at least take a listen to us, because we're going to have a fantastic time. And we can't go without a lot of our great sponsors, one of them being who's been with us now a while. That's Auto Paint and Supply. And they've got locations in Middleton, Walworth County, Racine County, Waukesha County, all over, whether it's fleets or automotive or industrial or even marine. They've got everything. They've got sanders and abrasives and paint products and spray guns and you name it. If you're in the automotive industry or in the fleet business, they're the ones to go to. That's Auto Paint and Supply. Also, our friends at the Milwaukee Admirals. Go to MilwaukeeAdmirals.com for all the promos, everything they got going on. Games, obviously. If hockey's your thing, it is a terrific brand of hockey. And Pat and Brooke and everybody over at Signature Limo. And if you're going to the airport, they'll get you there in style and in safety. If you're going out for the night, same thing. And if you got a party, you got somebody you just need to bring into town, or you just want a night out with your significant other, or maybe you're just going out with a bunch of friends. Whatever it may be, they got a great line of Signature Limos over there. Go to Signature Limo and check it out for yourself. Just tell them we sent you. They're right out there in Waukesha. Tell them we sent you. Great, great people. Stay tuned. Football Frenzy is up next on the Bill Michaels Show.
Sports Talk Network.